everyone. Your designers are here.
I'm Anita from Cedar Hill Farmhouse.
And I'm Yvonne at Stone Gable.
And I'm Kelly at My Soulful Home.
And we have tips and tricks and decorating advice for you. So let's get started.
Today is episode 28, Using Salvage in Your Decor. So this is one of my favorite things to do. So pretty excited once again today. So I think where we should start is to define what are we talking about when we say salvage?
Anita, I love using salvage in my home too. And when I think of salvage, I think of architectural things that were used in a home that have been discarded, like baseboard, spindles, crown molding, arches, corbels, all those beautiful things that are probably filled with lead paint.
You can seal them.
Yes, exactly.
I don't lick them, and you're good.
There you go. Shutters, things like that that were used on homes that used to be just discarded and thrown into landfills or burned, but now they're very popular to use in our home as decor.
Yeah, I agree. And the salvage items have the beautiful patina that we love, chippiness, and the mark of ages. I think salvage can even go beyond things that were in other homes. Salvage can be sort of anything that strikes you as being super cool that you could repurpose, whether it's a piece of metal or something that was used for a completely different purpose, and you make a flower container out of it or a plant container. Just thinking a little bit out of the box when you encounter a piece of salvage can go a long way to adding real interest to your home and to your decor, and some signature pieces that nobody in the world is going to have that salvaged flower pot like you will.
You know what I'm thinking when you're saying that, Kelly? I have an old chicken feeder that I used to plant outside, and it's metal, a little bit rusty, and it looks so beautiful with little just like smaller flowers, like pansies or something like that put in it. But there is just that juxtaposition of something so beautiful and natural with something old and chippiness, like a little bit of a surprise. Like, very creative.
I like Love to it. Use these elements for my surprise, or what I call my wow elements in the rooms. And one of my favorite types of salvage things to use are pieces from old churches. And they just add so much beauty and elegance to a room. And I love kind of that spiritual history. Ari have both made some good points that you can use these salvage items for the way they were originally intended to be used, like reclaimed hardwood floors you can use as flooring. Or you could use something, for example, like I had a screen door that I ended up converting to a chalkboard. So you can use it in a new and unique way. But why would somebody want to use a salvage item? Because it is so much easier to use something new versus the salvage.
Well, I think a lot of beauty that was built into houses a long time ago, houses aren't built the same. You don't have big, tall, if most new, maybe stock type houses don't have huge baseboards and really elegant banisters and things like that. And you can go to a salvage store and find these wonderful things and use them as art or as extra pieces in your home. And they bring the beauty of an elegance of something of a bygone day that's maybe a little more custom made looking or hand done.
Yeah, it adds so much charm, and one of my favorite words, and Yvonne used it already, but the juxtaposition, sometimes that's
that is
so
your
cool.
favorite word.
It is really one of my favorite words. I'm not going to tell you my least favorite words. Ew.
Please don't.
No, I'm not going to. But, if you have a newer home too, it's almost more striking to add in something salvaged than have an older home. I mean, my entire home could be considered architectural salvage. I was thinking about it, like, wow, what is salvage? Well, that is, and that is, that part is too.
It could be, but it's still part of your beautiful home.
My my house was built in 1886.
Okay. Yeah, it's old.
Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. old. And also the gentleman who lived here, he was a great lover of not only this home, but old homes and old things. So he, as I think I've mentioned before, was quite a, an epic hoarder. And so I was
I
able
think
to...
you mentioned Sanford and Son. Was
yes,
that?
Yes. I remember along that. Those lines. But mm-hmm. you know, in the rubble of a lot of what he had were some salvaged treasures. You know, I would people would be paying a lot of money for these things at the Rose Bowl or Round Top, and I was able to you know, just sort of uncover them here nice. In the barn. One of the things that he had is this iron fence that he brought back apparently on the top of his van from Ohio, and he, you know, he found it, it was salvaged then, it's probably from the early 1800s, and it's this very ornate but very rusty old fence, and he was going to circle the whole front of the house with it. He actually even had the holes in the bricks where you would just sort of put in the pieces. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was way too Adams family, like to have that all around the house, you know? So what I did was
you can go overboard with it.
You can go overboard.
It sounded really pretty until you added Adams family. Then it just totally, the picture totally changed in my mind.
Totally changed, right? You get that picture and you're like that looming house. So what I did was...
Oh, go ahead. You tell.
Yeah, it's iron. So I wanted to pay, you know, sort of a little homage to the gentleman who lived here. Plus, it's just so, the gate is so, and the gate portions and the fence is so beautiful. So what I decided to do was just use sections. So, and the front of the front of the lawn is like two long rectangles with not a whole lot of wide amount of grass, but just two long rectangles. So at the end, I had my handyman pour a very thin run of cement, and we put in two sections. So on either side of the walkway up to my house is are two sections of this old fence. And now I've got roses in front of it and some clematis growing on it.
Okay, put that in the show notes,
please. They're not really actually part of the fence.
I'm sorry, Nita?
So you use them as trellises for the roses versus kind of fencing? Are they attached to the
it's
fencing?
Really just decorative. It's not a fence. I mean, you could walk right around it, you know, and there's no gate. But I used them, and they're so pretty, and I left them just rusty as they are. You know, a few of my neighbors were like, oh, that looks really nice. So what color are you going to paint it? And I was like, yeah, I'm done. Like, this, I think it looks great.
You have the same neighbors I do.
yeah. But then I actually had this couple. I came home from grocery shopping one morning, like Saturday morning, and there was a couple in front of my house. Well, they loved the house. They were reading the historic sign that's on the palm tree, and they were really commenting and excited about the fence. So we had this long conversation as my ice cream was melting in the car about the fence. But so some people are, you know, definitely getting it. I think all of our listeners would get it. I think it looks pretty great. So that's one of the things that I've been able to incorporate here that was a salvage item.
Well, and we took an iron, speaking of an iron fence, I found an iron fence post. I mean, it was kind of rusting, and it was out in a landscape. It was a store where they have, it's kind of a local store that has a lot of plants and beautiful things for your garden. And so I grabbed it, and I, much to my builder chagrin, I said, here, here's our new Newell post.
Oh, I know. I've done that too. And they're like, what? It's not new.
Actually, he was great. But it wasn't tall enough. And the guy was saying, no, I can't tie into that. That's too old. And he was worried about it. But they made a little boot for it at the bottom. And I just painted it all to match. And it worked great. But that's why you have to have a really good builder.
Yes. Once I realized the fellow that's been helping me here, when he didn't look at me sideways when I came up with these ideas, I knew, we could work together. But what you mentioned underlines a point that Yvonne made, is that oftentimes it is more difficult to use a salvage item because you have to finagle what's there and it's not exactly the right height or the right size, or, you know, and you have to really, you know, think out of the box a little bit, not only about using it, but how to use it.
And, you know, I love that you girls are putting salvaged items into your new builds, like as you're building.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Our home is 21 years old, so I use it more decoratively.
Yeah,
and if I'm going to use something like an iron fence or whatever, it goes out in my garden. You know, they're beautiful out there.
Right.
But what I think the salvage item I'm most crazy about is shutters.
Yes.
We have well, there's, you know, just tons of old houses where I live in the East Coast, and I have about three different places I go, shops, antique shops, salvage yards, that have shutters upon shutters upon shutters, and they're very inexpensive, but they are so beautiful to use. Is I have one in a guest bedroom that my husband and made a headboard out of three or four big shutters, and I use them to hang on the wall as arch. It just really warms up anything that you have, and I have shutters hanging on either side of a beautiful gilded mirror, and it takes that gilding of that mirror, and like you said, that juxtaposition.
No, I love that
chippy white shutter, and it just makes that, you know, gilded mirror seem like warmer and a little more casual.
I love the shutters look. And, you know, you can find those at antique stores or, you know, definitely markets like the Rose Bowl Flea Market and Round Top. I found some out in Southampton, which, oh gosh, out there they used to have the most fabulous antique shows almost every weekend. And we had an opening from our kitchen, you know, kind of like a pass-through into the dining room, into then like sort of the great room, living room in that house. And so I put a shutter on either side of that on the dining room side.
Pretty.
And it was such a great, I loved it. That was a really good use of those.
I have a little walk of shame to my
Okay.
Because I bought 9 large shutters to use for headboards. I really have headboards on those twin beds in my girls' room at the farm.
Yes.
And so I bought them to put behind the bed because I thought it would add something. And
I remember that, Anita.
Well, for some reason, I don't like the look. Mm-hmm. And so I had to haul all of those to the shed. So if someone has some ideas for how I might use those 9 rather large shutters.
Oh, my gosh, on your porch. Don't you want to...
Oh, maybe you can block the wind.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
I was wondering how I could do that, because I do need to, we have created a wind tunnel. So we'll have to,
we'll talk after the show. I have
when we come over, we're going to do that.
Yeah.
We'll bring our toolkit.
Yes. Let me just tell you though.
I'll bring your handyman. That's what I mean.
I have a little tip. If you get louvered shutters, you can retrofit them. We've done that twice. We have a pair of black shutters on either side of my mantle in my, on my fireplace in my family room, and again the ones in my dining room on either side of our gilded mirror, and they were both very long. And I have a tutorial on how to take them apart, cut them to the custom length, and put them back together. So you're not limited by if they're too short, they're too short, but if they're too long, you can retrofit them, and they're not that hard.
Well, y'all are giving me all kinds of
show
ideas.
Notes.
Yep.
Yes,
show notes.
And if anyone has ideas for my shutters, leave me a comment.
I'm thinking.
You've got to make a screen for that wind tunnel of yours with those.
Okay,
I think
that's
that would
true
be awesome.
Because we were going to do something else that's fallen apart. So
here's another fun thing that I'm going to be doing this summer is I have an old, well, it's not that old, but my house is 20 years old. When we moved in, you know, it was brass. I have a 3-tiered, and I held on to it, brass chandelier. And I'm going to paint that. I'm not sure what color yet, but I'm going to spray paint it. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to put a pulley system on a tree that overhangs our patio.
Oh, gorgeous.
And put it over our our outside eating table, our dining room table outside. And so we get a lot of wind, so I definitely want to be able to take it down and take it up.
Idea.
Like even just making it the rope long enough that I could stick it under the table where, you know, the wind won't whip it around too much. But just even something like that, if you have an old chandelier, or you can get them for a song.
Right.
If you have a porch, like hanging it, and I think what I'm going to do is I'm not going to use candles in it because we get wind like you do, Anita. But I'm thinking about putting solar lights. Yes.
Well, you know, they did that in the episode I worked on for Texas Flip and Move. You might want to check that one out.
I will definitely do that.
Duplex Doozy, because, we took a chandelier and added the what do you call those? The solar lights on them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's such a good idea. I love that idea.
And you know, even you could use those old chandeliers, like you could plug them in and swag it up like over your bed or something in a really cool color, mm-hmm. or and use, you know, electrical lights, and it would just change the look of your whole room.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And you can find those brass, because people think, oh, it's brass and maybe I don't want the brass anymore.
Yes.
Or it's just not my look anymore. But yeah, get a can of spray paint and it's a whole different ball game.
I actually have a chandelier hanging on a birdcage holder stand.
Oh, how smart is that? An old fashioned like stand one?
Yes. Yes. Oh, well, I mean, there's no birdcage on it. It's the stand.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I bought it like that because I live in a really cool place where they do fun things like that.
You know, and if you don't want a whole lot of salvage, you know, if you just want a little taste of it, a little surprise here or there, mm-hmm. brackets for shelves are really easy to come by, and they're really inexpensive, mm-hmm. and you can leave them in their chippy fineness, or you could even paint them, but if they have a nice shape to them, you know, even if you put some new paint on them, they're still going to have, you know, a lot of interest, mm-hmm. and you can have metal ones, there are wooden ones, and it can just, even above a bathroom sink or something like that, just a thin little shelf with two really interesting brackets can just mm-hmm. add that little bit of charm that a room might need.
And you know, I can't pass up a corbel.
Corbel has been on the tip of my tongue the entire time.
I tuck it under my arm and out it goes with me.
Yeah.
I love corbels. I mean, I don't use them as corbels. I usually use them as bookends or mm-hmm. just a
great
piece
idea.
Of really cool
mm-hmm.
art, or, you know, some things like that. But they're so beautiful. And if you are lucky enough to find two, buy both.
Don't have corbel regret.
I bought at Round Top that I'm going to use for some open shelving, but I haven't gotten to the project yet.
Oh, how pretty.
But those
They're
are smaller
beautiful.
Ones.
Yeah, and you can put them in you know, doorways, obviously, and mm-hmm. you know, put them in the corners, and that really changes the look, especially if you have maybe your dining room looking into your living room or a foyer, and then you have those flanking the opening. I think mm-hmm. that's a fantastic way to use mm-hmm. some architectural salvage in an interesting way.
And my daughter lives in Washington, D.C., so they have big salvage stores actually everywhere.
Yeah.
And we went to this one, and I mean, if you want anything from an old house that you wanted, you could find there.
Wow.
And they had these small pieces, maybe 4 inches tall, and maybe about that wide of, I don't know what they're called. They're those little rosettes that used to go in the corners of windows and doors.
Yeah,
do you know
rosettes,
what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And then also some real high baseboards and real just chunks of it.
Ooh,
and I bought about a dozen of them. And I have this one wall in my living room, and I just, you know, my living room's sort of neutral, and I thought, oh, I don't know what to do with it. It just definitely needs something. So what I did is I took a 10x10 piece of stretched canvas that I just got at a big craft store, covered it with burlap, and then used a staple gun and stapled the pieces of molding and those rosettes to the center of that stretched burlap covered canvas.
Oh, nice.
And it became art.
Oh, great idea.
And then I put it in three frames. The frames were bigger than the canvas. But I'll put that in the show notes.
Yeah.
And it's such an interesting, I did three of them. So it's such interesting art.
Yes. Yeah, that sounds wonderful. And I took some old, we went to a salvage yard when we were building the house, and we found some old barn wood that I used for a valance for the shower curtain.
Mm-hmm.
And also I found this fabulous beadboard in different colors. Mainly it's blue mm-hmm. and green. They weren't even all the same color, but it was all in a stack. And that's, I mean, my builder and I, that's what we would go do, is hang out at the salvage yard. He knew when I was coming, we were headed over there. So I said, oh, let's put this in the ceiling of my porch. So we did that, and it looks great. I mean, but you know, when you're using salvage, I do have to say, you can't be a perfectionist if you're going to use it. you know, our beadboard has lots of nail holes where somebody nailed in, you know, some sort of something to cover it up because it, at some point it was out of vogue and they didn't want their beadboard anymore.
Right.
Anita, so, that's the beauty of it, though.
Mm-hmm. Right. But I just want to make sure, because I know sometimes, because I do sell antiques, I get sometimes somebody says, well, I don't like that because it is this flaw or that flaw. And
so it's too old.
That's sort of the purpose.
So if you're kind of a perfectionist about things, this is mm-hmm. probably not the thing for you. But if you're kind of mm-hmm. open to patina and wear and tear and kind of some age spots, then I think then you'll love it.
Yeah. And the beauty of these things are, for me, is not, yes, to the visual eye, but also to think about, you know, whether it be a door or a corbel that people would have walked under, like, who were all these people? You know, who,
yes,
who put the beadboard up
who
the first time?
That?
And then
yes.
who decided to cover it up? You know, yes. what were their mm-hmm. lives all about? You know, and I have these little, you know, I'm sure I make them very romantic and wonderful in my mind. I mean, I hope everybody's lives were as wonderful as I think that they are. But I like being surrounded by all of that. And I have a great respect for the things that came before. And I think the two of you feel the same way.
The pieces yes. have a longer history than we do.
Yes. I mean, I always feel like that about my house. Like, I'm a steward of my house now, you know, but everybody is that, whether your house is a day old or, you know, was built in 1886, there's going to be a period of time where, you know, you're going to decide to move on to something else or, and somebody else is going to be in your house. And with all the old things that we love and we've collected, you know, we're just the next set of hands that are loving it.
That is exactly right. And this is so cute, this little story. One of the very first sort of salvage things I brought home were these are two huge heavy shutters. They had to have been on a huge window, and I was going to put, they are sitting actually right now, or they are nailed to the wall in my breakfast nook, and this was my husband's first experience, so I said, oh, Bobby, you know, could you help me hang these? And he went out to the car, and he came back in with this, like, appalled face. He said, Yvonne, they're filthy, you know?
I'm going, like,
So, of course, he's going to do that because I asked, and I showed him where about
how
high.
So, are you cleaning them or no? No cleaning?
Well, here, this is it. I'm upstairs doing something. He has his job to do. He knows where to put them up. I hear the vacuum cleaner, and I'm thinking, oh, this is not good. So I run downstairs, and he's vacuuming everything off of them, like patina and all.
Oh,
so
no!
I said, no. I said, well, just gently dust them off, and that's.
Did you get
it.
Your feather duster out?
I did. I actually did. We took it outside.
Well,
but I said,
funny,
no,
you know,
you
Amy
have to
Howard
leave it because
stuff
for,
that looks like
those
the
crud was part of the patina.
Yes. Yeah, one person's crud is another person's patina.
I'm going to use that with house cleaning. It's patina. God. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, don't worry. The sink has patina.
But now he's gotten so good at, you know, when he's retrofitting something like the shutters, he's going like, oh, that little piece chipped off. You know, now he knows that's
funny.
Part of the allure.
Oh, it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, you got it. He's such good help. I'm amazed.
It's hard to get good help, Anita.
Yeah, it is. Yes, it is.
He actually loves doing this. And I forget what he said the other day. He used a decorating term. And, like, I'm in my study, and I heard him say it. And I, like, came out and went, who are you?
He's been listening to Decorating Tips and
Tricks. I think so. But it's so cute because he really loves this kind of thing.
Oh,
and
awesome.
This is something in our later marriage that we just never knew about each other, how much we, you know, he loved decorating and he loved
your later marriage,
things.
But this is your original marriage also, right?
Oh, yes, of course.
Later on in your original marriage.
Just
well, we've been married, you know, 34 years, so, you know, we've been together a long time.
Yay
but I
for you.
I wanted to add just a note on some of the things that we're talking about. I know we were talking about the difference between using some of these salvage things as when you're building your house, and some things, you know, if your house is already built, you know, you may be limited on how you can incorporate it, salvage things into your home. So obviously probably too late to do the flooring. But I did want to mention, you can add beams later on, because a lot of these are completely cosmetic. And although I have one main supportive beam, the rest of the little beams in my house are cosmetic and were added really kind of was one of the last steps that the carpenter did. So it is something
using
that you
salvage
can
material
add.
Would be beautiful.
Pardon?
I said using salvage material would be beautiful.
Yeah, that is something that you can do after the fact. Even if your house is 15 years old, you can still add those decorative beams if you want.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's something that happened in my house before I moved in, but it was definitely an add-on. Yeah, and there have been a lot of add-ons, I'm sure, and some I'm aware of, some not, over the course of all these years. But the gentleman who lived here before, as I mentioned, he was very interested and respectful of old homes. And we are very close to the Rose Bowl Parade route. So if anybody ever watches that on television, I mean, I'm literally a quarter of a block.
Are we all invited to your house?
Goodness,
then?
I know where I'll be next New Year's Day.
Well, I know. Yvonne, ever since I met her and told her where we were moving, well, I met her before that, but then when I told her where we were moving, I was like, oh my gosh, that's what on my bucket list. So we do have to do that, ladies. But literally, we can roll out of bed and walk down the corner with a cup
with
of
our
coffee and there
or
it is.
Tea. Yeah.
Right. So I mentioned it only because, that's a pretty wide avenue. It's Orange Grove. And along there were all these mansions in the way back years. Now, there are still some there, which are, stunning, and some really need our help. The decorating tips and tricks team could definitely to help out. And then there's the Wrigley Mansion, which is the Rose Bowl house now, and where all the preparations for the parade go on. But there was, on the corner, in this late 1970s, they were knocking down one of these mansions on a Saturday morning to put up, I have to say, ladies, one of the ugliest condo complexes ever seen.
Sad.
So there was no historical protection of these homes?
Not back then.
Not then.
People weren't doing it. But the gentleman who lived here, and he told me the story, he knew, there were signs up that this was coming down, and he was just this kind of guy. He went over on the Saturday morning before the demo team came, and he took apart a fountain out there, or it had been partially, maybe they started to take it apart, wasn't finished, and he pulled off all these bachelor tiles. Now, I'm not saying bachelor tiles. Have you guys heard of his these bachelor tiles? Are more like from the arts and crafts era.
Oh, wow.
So it
okay.
was later than the beginning of my home here. It was a little like maybe more the early 1900s. But a guy named Ernest Batchelder, he was an artist but also a really great marketer, and he created these beautiful tiles, definitely in the arts and crafts look. And they were becoming wildly popular, and these people, whoever had that beautiful home, had an outdoor fountain with these tiles. So the gentleman removed the tiles, he made a drawing on graph paper, which I still have, and he placed them and put them around the mantle, the fireplace, the innards of the fireplace in my house. They're so pretty. So here it is, something like literally was like coming down like in an hour, it would have been gone. And he
you
saved
live
them.
With so much history around you. That's beautiful.
Yeah, and these tiles are really interesting. I'll put a link to them in the show notes, or about this gentleman. And when you've probably seen them. It's like one of those things, you're like, oh yeah, I've seen those. But Batchelder gets kind of muddled with bachelor, and people get confused what they really are, and it's not a show about dating their tiles.
I remember hearing, because my neighbor in North Carolina used to work for the Grove Park Inn, and at one point they decided, we're going to refinish things. This wasn't recently. And so they sold all those arts and crafts chairs for like $15 a piece. Let's get these things out of here. Yeah.
No.
Well, I think they're sorry they did it now.
I bet.
I'm sure. Well, where would you find salvage?
It's everywhere.
Where do you find it?
It's everywhere.
I think it's not, it does seem like it's everywhere to us, but I know from talking to readers, it's not everywhere. So it
is. Well, I guess what I mean is, you drive down the street and somebody might have a chair out for the trash man.
Now that's salvage there.
I should have a bumper sticker that says, I stop for people's junk, right?
There you go.
I stop for salvage, because I have actually gotten a number of chairs and things from the side of the road.
Yeah. Well, you have to be in the right neighborhood for that. Well,
we
I'd like to go to Round Top for obviously a lot of, because, you know, I can go there because I can. That's where I get my salvage, and I get some rather large salvage items there. And also, I live in a historic neighborhood, so as they tear down maybe some houses that just aren't going to make it, they do go in and save, you know, all that they can, which I really appreciate.
Now they do that. Now that's
big.
But and, see, I don't have the Rose Bowl area that you have for salvage, and I don't have Round Top. But what we do have is we do have a lot of vintage and antique shops, and more they're carrying salvage items. You just have to look online and see what's in your area, I think.
Well, what I was going to say is check eBay. They do have a lot. And, you know, a lot of things can be shipped for, you know, probably more reasonably than you think. The super large things, that's not going to be the case. But maybe for a large corbel, they might be able to get it to you more reasonably than you think. So definitely check eBay.
Yeah, and Etsy as well. I know I was looking for, when I was trying to decide on a farmhouse sink, I was, and you know, that's not something you really want to ship. But you, who knows?
That's true.
Right, you could, but you could stumble on a shop that's within driving distance from you, and you might be able to, you know, go pick it up yourself. But there's a lot of salvage on Etsy as well.
And one other place I wanted to mention is the auction house. I do go to an auction house quite a bit here in Houston, and you can get things there. I've gotten doors and things there, antique doors from France and other places.
And even if it's a little bit of a trek, like the to go down to D.C., it's about 2.5 hours for us. It is so worth taking some girlfriends in a couple vans and heading down there and having a field trip, because it just opens your eyes up to so many possibilities, and it will help you be creative when you look at like a whole aisle full of doors that I can think of so many things to do with them. The other thing I just wanted to say, if you have little ones, you'll want to seal any of your salvage.
Yes, good point.
Seal your salvage, that's a good
idea.
What do you
use
to do that?
Yeah, because
of the lead paint.
I use a spray fixative sealer.
Oh, okay. Maybe we can put a link in the show notes to that. Well, I could talk about salvage for another week or so, but I know everybody who's listening probably has to get on with their day. So we wanted to just remind you that we are here to help you create a beautiful home. Until next time. Hey there. If you're loving our podcast like we're loving our podcast, we would love you to rate and review us. Head to iTunes to do that. It's easy, and it would mean so much to us. And if you do rate and review us, we're going to enter you to win a fantastic giveaway. The details for the giveaway are in the show notes for this episode, and you can find the show notes at decoratingtipsandtricks.com.